Okay, so shall I start? So I'd like to thank the organizers for the opportunity to start this session because I screwed up my summary and sent it to all the organizers. So I should also ask thanks John Michel for the opportunity. Apart from choosing the finite dimensional semi-simple algebra over complex numbers, GNC is okay even though it's not semi-simple actually. After a while it will be more than okay, it will be highly recommended. We will choose maximum important sub-algebra and the general position linear representation chi of this algebra. And we denote by theta the correspondence a model of an universal relevant algebra of M. So for example, it will usually be convenient to think of M as the important radical of the negative barrel. So you can take M to be N minus. General position character just annihilates all the non-simple roots, all the non-simple root vectors, and on simple ones, you can choose any non-zero value. For example, 1. So now, if V is any G module, then a vector in this module is called visitor vector. If it's XV equals chi of XV for any X and M. So if this general position character is realized on this vector. So, shall I make this fine? Some of them.
All of them, okay.
But we need another color that is okay. Visitor module is generated by visitor. And the theory of visitor models was developed in classical paper of Houston in 1978. And the main idea of this paper is that important role played by the sensor V of the universal system. So I will explain shortly the results of Houston. We choose a central character for the sensor, zeta, and we can define the module V theta, which will be induced from the one-dimensional module on which the V acts with prescribed central character and on which M acts with prescribed general position character and just induce it. Okay, so you can, for pedagogical purposes, you can think of this as some kind of Verma module, even though this is really mathematically wrong analogy because they behave very differently. And so vector vectors are some kind of private vectors, you can think of them in these terms. But of course, if you would do this for the trivial character, in which case this would be some kind of really high-weight vector, and this would be some kind of Verma mode, actually it would be bigger than Verma mode. It would be a model which has a very complicated submodule structure, because it's even bigger than the Verma mode. However, Houston proves that in this situation, these Verma modules are actually precisely the irreducible modules. They are already irreducible, and they are very irreducible. There is one of each central character. So if you want this some kind of constituents of the quadratic dimension, so you can consider this as a problem to define the group set. We also prove that any Whittaker module is isomorphic to the module induced from Z mod I, where I is any ideal of the center in a similar fashion. In particular, if the ideal is zero, then we get the universal Whittaker module, which will be denoted by Q. It's a basically just get here and then get the region up. And another thing with Shapiro's is that the natural map on the sensor for the endomorphism algebra of this module Q, which is think of this as get from graph representation. So the natural map of the sensor maps into any endomorphism algebra. She proves that this is an isomorphism of algebra. So now, one thing which I think he didn't quite spell out here is that you can see that there's some kind of Maritain complex here, so there should be some equivalence of categories. Maybe this is the third generator, and this is the Hecke algebra of the graph model. And so this was made precise later in the work of Scriabin in much bigger generality. So, and then it was also improved by Dan Ginko later. Consider the category of two modules on which x minus perfect x open is important to bring into them. So this is something think of this as category four of two. And then for any two module, V upper M, the set of all these zero. M in there. M in there in the sense of this function. So then we're going to deal with the factors equals to Vm. And the induction from the sensor up to Q are inverse equivalent categories between the category C and between the category of Mosley modules. So it needs to be said, of course, here that the sensor is just a polynomial algebra in L variables where L is around. And so it becomes quite clear what the reducible models should look like. They should just correspond to they're just one-dimensional models. They should just come from one-dimensional models. And that's why they look like this. So it's clear in this picture. And here. They also have lots of other results which I'm not going to mention. If you have a in this and that. So it's going to be important. I should say one thing here. Because in this setup which I'm describing, it probably was multiple. It's also not really used for the don't think it's called out, which resembles me. I should say this, apparently this is real picture. I should say that once again to a talk where to talk by Costant, where somebody asked the question, wasn't this proved by Deligne? And Costant said Deligne wasn't even born in this. So I'm sure Scriabin wasn't even born in Costant. That's a disclaimer. So one point which I want to mention here is I want to speak a little bit more about this isomorphism. Let's consider this isomorphism algebra of this Gershon Greig representation. And you can derive it by convenience of the process. We are interested in the digital characteristics. One nice way to think about it is as follows. Well, we can call U of T. let's say your gene is a very good virus all that just comes forward. And so you can project from the false to the devil here. And so one way to read things is as follows, that you can think about this in the Muslim mouth, where we are trying to prove that it's censure. You can think about this as a sub-algebra of human people. This is a sub-algebra which consists of the whole experiment. So you can think. It's not as much for you. Totally in the spirit of the classical Chevalier there, where you can now project on your default to your page. So what you should get is just in the form of your saying that this is true. So what the Chevalier spirit says is that the center, the Ershan of homomorphism, which is isomorphism between the center and the W and Verne page. So I make it good. This is sort of hypothesis, or it's not quite essential right there. There is of course a way to relate it to the Chevalier theory. So if someone knows how to do this, or knows, it's indeed. Okay, so one other part of which I'm going to quickly go from the start before I go to the blackboard is the following, that Hoskins already, and also Dennis and Graham and Zucker, who is a work on this, they have a geometric perspective from this paper, which is going to be important for us. I want to quickly explain this. So we can choose an aspect of triple where E is a regularly important element and F is a regularly important element. So if M belongs to our subalgebra M, and our character chi is the same extent with E with respect to the tuning fold. So really, what's happening here? Yes, the following question. So imagine this is the U and then they call M and M. And then remember our M position target is of say one of those cars on the mean that zero and square. You can take E to be just regularly constant, which is two. And then I'm comparing to the zero. And then you can take F, which is the way you have come to, and F and K, which you have used to the end of the triple. You can also do the way that you have to do it. And with this, you can take A here. you can see energy is there. The complex variable is there.
Okay, so what you can do is then you can decompose the realgebra into the weak space that is just extra H. And then,
of course, the weak space, weight and orbit,
And there's another class of situation which is sometimes called the Gunn situation of the real algebra, where we take into account this eigenvalue I. And
what we are trying to do. We are going to think about, we want to think about U of G as the variety G. Because, this is feature, it's a feature maybe the symmetric algebra on G. Now G is isomorphic to G star using the Tilden form. So you can think about this as the regular function symmetry. So this is completely symmetric. There's nothing here.
Okay, but then we want to go to the module Q,
which is U of G modulo I chi. Now what is the commutative feature in the path to the gradient? Well, it's not easy to see that actually this ideal becomes a defining ideal of this temporality. So you get the algebra of regular functions on the steep of D minus. The E is here because it corresponds to chi. And D minus is just M4.
And then the morphism algebra of Q,
I sort of just explained that the Carpinian reciprocity is this M invariant and U of G modulo I chi. And on this side, what you get here is you're getting this, it needs to be proved actually, this is where you're on the cards, that with respect to this Condon situation, the corresponding gradient algebra is this. And so you get this, sort of M orbits on E dot B minus. See?
Now, there is a very nice result which in this setup is proved by custom but in the RTG reality by Kanan Ginsburg that proves that
the nice morphism of finite variety the capital F is the Lie group or the algebraic group corresponding to the Lie algebra little f, so in this case it's just Lie Lie group of matrices, and so it acts on this variety E plus D minus, and actually if you choose this affine subspace, which is even from the centralizer of F, of the tuple, then this is nice morphism of affine varieties. Okay, so you have this thing, equals E plus, and then you have this E plus, the centralizer of F, which is called the Sorgrid line, and M, it's like this. So from that it follows that this M invariant is actually the algebra of functions on this Slogger space, which again and by Slogger is known to be this function. So now this is all for the regular only important element, but this suggests what to do in the case of an arbitrary new element. So you can look at this from a different point of view. Somehow you can start from this important element E. And then you could try to then E belongs to the SOPG called ESH. And you can try to see when is this nice geometric picture going to fall. And then you will need to discover this subgroup M so that this picture falls. So this is kind of how you can try to discover from the geometric point of view the general Gilson Grand card that you first discover. And now that was fun.
I did again what you heard.
I'm going to do everything all over again, slowly now. Okay, so basically I'm going to do what already happened on several thoughts. I'm going to consider the generalization from drag direction. So we start from very simple algebra G. We pick an important element we have a killing form of the generous parent, and then under the killing form, G is identified with G star, and let's say the element, the linear function which corresponds to E is called I. Now by Jacobson Morozov lemma, E is part of an isotropic tuple E of H. With respect to H, we can decompose G as a direct sum of eight spaces G of I. And then on G of minus 1, if there is not G of minus 1, if the element is even, then we don't need to do what I'm going to do now, but in general you need to do this. So on G of minus 1, you have a symplectic form, non-generic symplectic form, which maps pair of elements into chi of the commutator. So this is a non-generic symplectic form. So we can choose an arbitrary Lagrangian subspace. This is this half, and this U1 and the half. So maximal total isotropic subspace. And then you put M or M chi to be G of minus 1 of the 0 to deal with all the negative weight spaces starting from negative 1 and going down. And then M is an important subalgebra. And chi is a representation of M. It's only the teacher. And so let's take chi in the corresponding module of a universal Welzenck algebra. Let's define W or W chi to be the nomorphism algebra of doesn't have to be commutative this time in general. Okay, so first of all, M is some remarks. So the construction of M, if we want to come back, I think, then you go up and generalize your Fourier representation. And then you can see, of course, that Q is nothing but, well, generalized Diffenberg representation. And this is the Hecke algebra of generalized Diffenberg representation. Okay, now, later this algebra was rediscovered by, I think, Melin. And then it was rediscovered by Grimmie. If we can take some price here that and when people work on EK, there are all these parallel setups. Finite groups of Lie type, Lie algebras, chaotic groups. And usually things are discovered first somewhere in Lie groups, and then applied to chaotic groups, and picked up by finite group theories. So this is one of the things where things often was discovered first by finite group theories. And we're discovered rather by these theories. Some further remarks.
Well, это действительно дело не important.
And then this is some called the Hoffman case. Or the usual non-generalized Hilfenkrais case. If E is zero, you can interpret this so that this is the algebra, universal Hilfenkrais algebra itself. So those are two sort of extreme cases. And in this case, you already know that by constant that this is central. So all the intermediate cases will be somehow something in between. Now, Remit rules in general, remember the geometric picture, we saw this slice appearing. So Remit rules in general that W can be considered as a conservation of slowly displaced. So in particular, this gives some kind of PBW basis for these algebras. Although the elements of this basis are not explicit because you have two lists. So you have this algebra which is filtered by constant filtration. When you pass through the associated graded algebra, you get the Poisson algebra which is algebra of functions on the slowly slice. And then you have two lists somehow, but you don't really get explicit elements. So now all the parameters consider the special case of the subregular element. And in this case, he proved that blocks, it's a slight line, but never mind, blocks of W are conservations of Kenyan singularities. Exactly the same. And those were discovered before by Kovlibov and Holland. And Remit conjectures that this quantization is the same quantization, and he checks it in type A, but in other times it's left open. And now on the other hand, probably Bob and Holland show that their quantizations of Kenyan singularities are related with skew representations, and actually with the projective algebra of Angular, which we saw today in our talk. So, even in the subregular case, you get something rather interesting. You can see that these algebras are going to be very interesting in general. So they really need to be studied. Now, Scriven also proves his result in general, of course. So it falls from this setup. Now, of course, you also have these generalized beautiful models. Now, I should say that Kawanaka studied finite groups and the groups using this algebras. Gorev studied creative groups. Well, and so on. And Kremit also considered the case of modular algebras. Originally, he actually came to this starting from modularly algebras and then somehow gave an induction modularity arguments to prove results about complexly algebras. He also proved first the analog of Scriven's result. Actually, Scriven's result is analog of Kremit's result. So Kremit has very explicit equivalence of categories here, which shows that this algebra U prime, which you're just developing algebra, is the algebra of matrices over this algebra W prime, or this H algebra. And the science here is precisely the science predicted by the Cartwright-Fedder conjecture. And so that immediately implies Cartwright-Fedder conjecture. It's a very, very, very special case. And here it shows that to understand this, all we have to do, you need to study this, but of course in this modular setup. So another indication of the fact that these things should be important. Okay, so now also physicists like these algebras. And they call them finite W algebras, or quantum finite W algebras. And this is where the term comes from. It's interesting that Constant also uses the word W apparently for Whittaker. And I don't know why physicists call them this way. So we still haven't decided what they should be called. So for now we will call them, for the purpose of the big talk, we'll call them finite W algebras. But they're just Hecke algebras, so generally different great representations for this topic. Other physicists, and this one have names. This series is like this because this algebra W chi are some symmetry algebras of some physical systems. I don't want to repeat the words, I really, really don't understand. And so these other physicists who have names, they show that there is a relation between W chi and the Youngians. No, it's not this Youngians. And this is really where our first interest in that arise, because we were interested in Youngians, and we knew that Youngians are related by Ginsky's duality with the degenerate affine Hecke algebras. Which are in turn related to symmetric groups. And so I managed to come to the finite groups in this talk. Okay, why this link? This is only true for type A. Well, not quite, but anyway. Okay, so this is the end of motivation, basically. And so now I can ask two questions. What is W as an algebra? And what is this representation theory? So I'd like to understand those because obviously the algebras are important and very interesting. Okay, so from now on, I'm in type A. And I believe that in this case, GLN is SLN is not important in this setup. It's easy here to go between. And so in this case, you can answer question one, and you can more or less answer question two. Well, of course, you can start this forever, but I mean, you can at least classify simple modules.
You said in W
chi,
a block of W G or something. So I know that there is a notion of W there, defined in terms of some common value, some complex, and only the W G.
It is probably the same thing, but I think the physicists usually do it for Hartmanian algebras. And so I don't know much about that. I mean, there are other W algebras which are probably real W algebras, not finite W algebras, which are defined as some kernels of some Skinner operator, so which are obtained by some heuristic homology process. And that's probably what you know and then understand. And there's a sort of finite dimensional log of that. Okay, so now the Nipponent element E one thing which I forgot to mention is that everything actually depends not on the important element, but rather on the corresponding important orbit. So you can take any E in the important orbit, and you're going to get an isomorphic algebra. And there are some other choices which were made, like the choice of this Lagrangian subspace, for example. And it also can be shown, although it's not that easy, that the algebra you get is the same algebra.
Okay.
So we may assume that this E is just the Jordan normal form. So it has blocks, size P1, P2, and so on, Pn. And for pedagogical reasons, I'm going to assume that there are only two Jordan blocks. The results are in general. But I'm only going to do it for two Jordan blocks because the four blocks are going to be shorter. So let's assume that E has two Jordan blocks. This P1 less than or equal to P2. So first I'm going to define an algebra which is not going to be W, it's going to be bigger. So this algebra is called the mu, and we call it shifted Yang-Yang. Now the idea here is this, that when you have the heavily algebras corresponding to two German blocks P1 and P2, you can make this P1 and P2 bigger, bigger, and bigger, and bigger, in such a way that the difference between them remains fixed. Okay, so P2 minus P1 is fixed number D, but you make P1 and P2 bigger. And this way you get the projective system of these algebras, and in the projective limit, you'll get the big algebra, which I'm going to define now. Okay, and then I will tell you how to pass to the finite situation. So, definition. Okay, so now I predicted that I will be short on time. So okay, so this algebra is the shifted Young unit is shifted by D, and which has four fabulous generators, E, and F's. And the relations are written over here. And now, one comment which needs to be made here is that when D is equal to 0, that this is precisely the Young-Yang of GS3 in this implementation. And in general, these algebras are subalgebras of the Young-Yang. So you have this method. So you can describe this algebra precisely, and these relations might look wild, but actually they are not wild. They're something familiar, and it's a variation of familiar things. The W algebra is just a quotient of the Young-Yang by very simple relations. You kill the higher degrees of the D1. Actually, it turns out that when you kill the higher degrees of D1, starting from the D1, which is the size of the first German block, then you can take a formula of the higher degrees of D2, E, and F are also killed. And that you can take poles which are not sealed, and you can take all the numbers in the fixed order and then poles from the place. Now, using E as somehow upper triangular matrices, you can define Faraday strictures. And then, of course, you also have irreducible Faraday modules. On the final pair. I'm going to show you.
this. But you have private modules, kind of lambda, which are classified by those by arbitrary means. But if you want to know when LF lambda is finite dimensional, then you need to determine whether it means for V to be dominant. And the condition is, in terms of the roots of polynomials, arise from the action of these on the Cartesian field.